Good morning.
Good morning. Well, we are so excited that you're here.
Yes. Thanks. And we've been talking with Julie for a while.
Yes.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah.
So how is it where you are?
It is cold. It's in the 20s, but it's sunny, which I will take a sunny day any day versus a gray and cloudy day.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So Julie is coming in from Wisconsin.
Yes.
Not beautiful. Not Wisconsin, because you would be corrected if you said Wisconsin. It's Wisconsin.
That's right.
Yes. That's right.
And we met you personally up in Door County.
Yes.
We did. Yes.
Yep. So let me give a little background and then we're going to jump right into what we're going to cover today. Okay. So Julie Lang, like most women, is a professional multitasker, okay? High level performer, you know, raise a family, check. Build a successful career, check. Taking care of everyone else, check. But wait, when her body let her know that she needed attention right away. So that we all have that, right? We're taking care of everybody else, and then all of a sudden our body comes knocking. So in this interview, Julie, a certified health coach, will share with us just how she re-engaged with your formative training, because you have all kinds of training in food science, human nutrition, and you took back how you were starting to feel. You took control. So today we're going to go over the science behind food and nutrition, what's happening when you feed your body, and how stress can impact you. So we have three lightning questions at the end, but we're going to cover a background on your journey, the science of how food is changing our bodies all the time for the positive or negative, and how we can keep stress in a good way and not an overwhelming way, and how food plays a role in that.
Great.
But one of the things that I really love touching on is how we create habits and not necessarily depend on our willpower, because our willpower can fail us at some point, but if we create those daily behaviors, we can really shape how we're feeling in a whole new awesome way.
Right.
So that's a lot to cover.
It is a lot to cover. And that's actually what health coaching and lifestyle coaching is really based on, is the foundation of recreating habits to be sustainable over a long amount of time, not create just some yo-yo effect.
Love it.
Yes, yes.
So give us a background on you and what happened in this whole evolution and how you went back to square one and started building a really positive body, mind, spirit as it relates to food and nutrition.
Right. Thanks. So about in 2013-14, my son was probably 5 or 6 years old at the time. I was in the heyday of a really lucrative real estate career. I was working probably 70 hours a week, maybe more some days. And I was plugging along on nonprofit boards and doing it all, just like you said. And I started to lose energy, plummet, and started having all kinds of low-grade alerts that I ignored for a while. Mm-hmm. And it really kind of hit home when I was out showing houses and I felt like I was going to fall asleep right now and had to pull in a parking lot to park my car. And I thought, this is a problem. So anyway, that started the journey of trying to uncover that. And I went to our regular physician at the time, and she just said, you live in Wisconsin, you have seasonal disorder, take vitamin D. And never really got to the bottom of it. And that went on for probably 6 months as I searched for more answers. And through that, I discovered a functional nutritional pharmacist who sat down and had a conversation with me about all kinds of things and said, I want you to go see this doctor. I did, and she specialized in endocrinology. And at that moment, she ordered tons of tests. It was about 4 hours and started to unravel all these things and said, I'm leaning into the fact that you have all these symptoms that could lead us on a terminal diagnosis, a really rare disorder called MEN1. And it takes quite a long time to diagnose because we have to type your DNA and all these things. So anyway, long story short, that was March 17th. It was St. Patrick's Day. And I went through all that testing for several months, wondering if I would wake up and see my son graduate high school because she told me I could have a terminal disease. And the bottom line is that I did not. And when I got that diagnosis, I thought, what am I doing? How did I get here? And I ended up having to have surgery on my parathyroid and had my parathyroid removed, and that affects your calcium. And so I started going back to all my college degrees and training about calcium and how I would supplement that. And then that led me down the path of refreshing my nutrition knowledge and then enrolling in a health coaching certification class, which was very holistic in nature, addressing all kinds of lifestyle issues, not just food. So that's how I got where I am today.
Wow. Very cool. And I mean, it's very neat how you've like evolved, but it's traumatizing to think that it was an event where you thought, maybe I might wake up one day and, or I might not wake up one day and see my son graduate. And then you're like, I need to reevaluate. Mm-hmm. So, right.
You know, which we never know, right, when that day is going to come. I mean, but that's part of living, is part of dying too. But to me, it was about making the most of the time that I had and changing the quality of my life and embracing the fact that I could direct my health to give myself the best chance for a long, healthy life.
Well, and you can take ownership of it too. You don't have to be in the mercy of doctors and in medicine. You can say, I'm going to make the choices over, as you said at the beginning, to be sustainable and take responsibility for your health through what you eat.
Right, absolutely. And I think there's such a spin happening right now in the healthcare field because, you know, I think there's absolutely a time and a place and a need for conventional medicine and our doctors, and we can't ignore that. But there's also a place for functional medicine and the idea of getting to the root of the problem and preventative medicine, because the statistics are crazy staggering, like in the millions. 60% of Americans have over one chronic disease today. So if you take 60% of Americans that are suffering from one chronic disease and think of the ways that's eroding their quality of life, and if you can take ownership of that and advocate for yourself with your doctors, and I think it's really important to know that that one doctor, if you're not getting answers or feeling satisfied there, to keep going and seek out second opinions, because we have put doctors on a pedestal in our society for the past, you know, very long time. And sometimes there's different trains of thought. And so I encourage people to explore all those different things.
Well, I was in a conversation yesterday with our personal trainer for KYD55.
Right.
I shared with him that nothing in our life has improved until we took ownership of it. Mm-hmm. Not finances, not health, not video, mm-hmm. pick anything in your life. You can't simply abdicate or even delegate the responsibility out. You have to take ownership of it. You can have other people help you, but at some point you have to come down and say, if I'm going to get healthy, I need to start becoming the expert in this. Yes. And doing the research and taking the steps. Yes. And then things, right. And then the needle will move. You can go to right. a doctor, you can go to professionals like you and participate in programs like this, but the buck stops with saying, I'm going to do this.
It does. And I think there's a lot to the old adage of, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So mm-hmm. it's true with the people in our lives too, right? We can try to inspire them. Mm-hmm. We can influence them, but we can't control them. The only thing we can control and take ownership of is ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I think the best way to do that in a lot of examples is to lead by example. So if you take ownership of your own health and you start to embrace yourself and where you're at and all those holistic aspects of wellness and health and nutrition and filling your cup in all different ways, that in turn inspires people to maybe take action in a different way.
I love it. That's awesome. All right.
So the rubber meets the road. Someone says, okay, it's time for me to take the reins. What are some of the first steps that people can do to start taking ownership over their nutrition?
Right. So number one, I think it's really important to sit down with somebody, and I always want to put out there that I'm a health coach. I'm not a doctor. It's not medical advice, but it's for informational purposes, right? So people can make these decisions and go down this path. But I think number one is to really do some mindset work. That's really, really important because you want to think about your goals, where you're going, why you want to go there, and envision what that could look like in the future. So embracing that and then getting real about what might be holding you back, because if you can't get past those hurdles and acknowledge them, deal with it, and then move on, that can be something else. And then in terms of food, I think a lot of us have habits that have been slowly developed over time that don't lead us in a path of good nutrition. So we do a lot of mindless eating. We do a lot of eating on the run. We do a lot of eating with a screen on in some ways and not in community with people. So there's all these things about shifting your mindset about how you address eating and whether you're really full, whether you're really hungry. So mindset work is first. Once you deal with a little bit of mindset, and if you're working with a coach and you can dialogue about that, it really sets the stage for where you're going. I think number two is then to really educate yourself about the information on how food nourishes your body and how you can either be eating to help yourself or hurt yourself. Every bite you put in your mouth is either helping your cells and helping you live well and nourishing you, or it's eroding you in some way. And so trying to unravel all that information and understand how sugar affects us, how processed food affects us, and how what we're drinking sneaks in these really bad calories and yes. things that we don't need. And yes. so starting to kind of unravel that and then taking a step towards cleaner eating and meal planning and being thoughtful about how you make decisions of what you're choosing to eat.
So let me add in there that when I hear you talking, Trish and I, for the past several years, especially when Trish was training for a show and we were getting fit, we started to pay very close attention to how we feel after certain foods. Mm-hmm. And I think with that type of awareness,
you have to be your own detective.
You do.
I think what it was is Caleb's allergic to gluten. And there was all sorts of tests, and his hair was falling out when he was like 3 years old and mm-hmm. things. Doctors really had no good explanation. Mm-hmm. And Trish was the one that realized it was.
I literally was at wit's end, because when you see your child going through something, you're like, I need an answer today.
Oh, tubes down his throat and all sorts of stuff and no real good results. And then mm-hmm. Trish ended up kind of figuring it out through being aware. And I think, so we've always had a very keen awareness on what we're eating. And so like, for instance, not criticism of Chipotle whatsoever, but sometimes, you know, Chipotle is where we can go often for like a clean lunch, depending on what you put in there.
Yeah.
But sometimes we don't feel very good after eating Chipotle, but that's a very minute awareness of it. Now, maybe, and I want to talk to you a little bit about in a different form about like maybe food allergy stuff. Maybe we're allergic to onions and we don't know it,
right.
Or something about that doesn't make any of us feel very good within the hour after eating Chipotle.
Yeah.
But if we're not a detective, you don't pick up on those things.
Right.
You don't. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, one of the tools that I encourage a lot of clients to use is a food journal. And there's lots of different ways to do that, whether it's paper, whether it's just a little notebook, whether it's your calendar or an electronic app or your electronic calendar. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to do it. And it doesn't have to be precise. We're not talking about, you know, measuring 2 ounces of this and one cup of this. It's more along the lines of, I had avocado toast for breakfast and I wasn't hungry until 2 o'clock and I had great energy. And, you know,
or maybe like little, you eat certain things and then maybe like a little smiley face or a little frowny face or a line face so that you can remember.
I love that.
In talking with Robbie back when we were working, training with him every day, and we were doing a food journal, he said, sometimes I have clients that didn't know that they eat a Snickers every day at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
They just didn't even know. I mean, it was just like, and not until they start writing down, they're like, I do this every day. So it's right. just crazy the stuff that we do and don't even know we're doing.
Which goes back to that mindless eating that I was talking about. And so becoming and increasing your awareness about all those things, how to read labels, how you feel, that is such a key in beginning to shift your habits. Because if you are aware, now you can start to take the steps to change those habits. And I love the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. And it talks about the fact that there's every day you want to work towards a 1% increase or become 1% better. And so when you're looking at trying to shift your lifestyle and create well-being, you can't just flip a switch and everything's perfect, because all of a sudden, what for a lot of people, what can happen is that pendulum swings. It was way over here. Now it swings so far over here that it's going to come back. Sure. And so instead of making these small adjustments and awareness and changing habits, then that pendulum, when it swings, it's only doing this, it comes back to center much more easily instead of this drastic,
It leads to yo-yo dieting. And I feel like this is a good segue to kind of rewind a little bit and talk about our, what we're putting in our mouth as associated to our emotions. And if you think about it, we've been fed on our emotions since day one, right? We cry, we get fed. We feel bad, we get fed. It makes us happy. And so that is a habit from way back when.
So do we celebrate? Food is in so many ways a reward. And so, you know, I mean, even think about like potty training kids, how many people used a treat to potty train their kid, you know, I mean, things like that. So,
So is there like one or two ways, I mean, this is just barely scratching the surface, that you give people a way to either be aware or to help move that habit into something healthier?
Right. So food journaling would be number one, because it does
awareness,
right? That would be number one. Number two, I'm a big advocate of breathing exercises and kind of practicing the pause and taking some deep breaths and thinking, am I really hungry? And if you are, then great. But if you take that breath and you can relax some of the chemical reactions that are happening in your body, then it may settle down some of those things that trigger the sensation of hunger or that just natural inclination to go to food. So breathing exercises would be huge. I think there's other things you can do. Water, stopping and drinking water is always great. Exercise is great. So there's different pieces that you can practice to kind of interrupt that cycle a little bit.
Is there maybe an interim step before someone starts to develop that awareness muscle? Because it is, I mean, awareness is a bit of a muscle.
Right.
It gets better over time.
I love that.
To replace some of the things that you would normally go to with preparation. So if preparation is maybe the bridge, then, you know, if someone normally goes into the fridge and grabs chips or grabs certain things, then with some preparation, you can have, you know, diced chicken already cut in bags in the kitchen. You can make sure that you know, for us, swing by Trader Joe's and have certain trail mixes that might be good, or maybe just raisins and almonds. Because I know when we were doing a lot of training and we were like keeping, like throwing a log on the fire to keep our metabolism going all the time. Uh-huh. And we kind of were going into the kitchen every 2 hours, that if the food was not already prepared, that was a big problem.
It was game over.
It really was, right? Because it's like, well, I don't have time to make something right now. And unfortunately, the things that are quick often are not the things that are the best for us.
Right.
And so preparation is how we kind of cross the chasm.
Yes.
Got to the other side.
Yeah. So, I think getting really honest with yourself, if you want to begin this path, one of the biggest things you can do is to get rid of the junk. And it's hard because you go in your pantry or in your refrigerator and you're like, oh my gosh, I just bought that or this money or this, whatever.
Yes.
You just, it's a commitment. And this is one of those things where you just, if you're going to make the commitment to start, you just have to do this step. And right. I think getting rid of the junk so that it's not there is really important, because right, if you're stressed and ice cream is your go-to and it's there, you're going to open the drawer and you're going to eat the ice cream. Whereas if you have bags of frozen blueberries that are in your freezer that you can grab and pop, or you have different kinds of nuts, because nuts are so healthy, and not peanuts. We're talking about all different kinds of nuts, from almonds to walnuts, right? All those different kinds of things. So like you said, having things and being very intentional about how you grocery shop, how you put those things in your pantry, your freezer, your refrigerator. And if you go buy something big, portion them off to begin with. I was just working with a client and one of her things is popcorn and she eats the whole bag. I said, well, when you get home from the grocery store, open the bag, get some containers and split it into servings so that when you go get it, you're only going to eat that serving instead of, you know, half the bag or the entire bag.
I don't like that idea, but I think it's probably a good one. Because we get at Trader Joe's these little dried mango things, and they're sweetened, and that's, and speaking of like crossing the
counter, it's nature's candy.
It is nature's candy, and that's it, and is. We go off sugar like right now with K-Ready 55. That's kind of, you know, we do use fruit to get us from where we are to where we need to be, because, you know, you can still, but the problem is I'll take the bag and I'll, like 5 minutes later, they're all gone, right? And then I look at the back and I'm like, how many servings was this?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then I look at that and you multiply the sugar by the servings and you're like, oh my gosh.
I just wrecked it.
It's not as bad as other choices, but.
Yeah. The other thing that I do is I actually keep a 1 gallon Ziploc bag in my car of pre-portioned things or snacks, individually packaged snacks that I might have bought. Like I have little tiny packs of trail mix or nuts that I buy. And then I also have organic nitrate-free grass-fed beef sticks that are 50 calories each. So I have a bag in my car of these things that all of us will eat. So when we're driving around and you get that craving or that hunger hit, you can grab something that you have versus going through a drive-thru.
I don't believe for a minute that Ian only takes one bag. I think he takes two bags. You know it.
This guy would.
I would.
That could be totally true, but it's still better than all the drive-thru stuff because
absolutely.
One of the things when you were talking about how you feel after you eat, there's over 3,000 food additives that flood our U.S. food market. So there are all these things that companies that are adding to our food that are out of our control, back to taking ownership. Mm-hmm. And every time you are letting somebody else prepare your food, you just really don't know what's in there.
I think, is it the FDA who controls food? Like,
oh gosh, that's a whole podcast.
I know. We're not going to get into it, but right. I really,
yeah. So the USDA, the FDA, okay. Those two are kind of the,
yeah, I'm not criticizing you, and I don't want to get off the topic, but I'm saying that in my opinion is the lowest form.
Yes.
It's like the, it's
just
it's,
make sure you don't die. That's what their job is.
Basically. Yeah. I mean, it's poison is below the line.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, probably a little extreme, but.
Well, you're not extreme, and there's a lot of different documentaries and things that are starting to unravel and uncover that, because it's interesting. I having a degree in food science is under the auspice of agriculture, and I love our farmers, and they do amazing work, but the USDA is also in the business of supporting the business of agriculture, and so when you think about those things, they're putting forward our health recommendations, but they're also supporting the business of agriculture. And so how do those things
intersect? There's a built-in conflict of interest of how the organization was formed to begin with. And there's just a natural conflict of interest. And there's conflicts of interest in almost any industry that we work with. I think it's important, getting back to awareness, to see where does the money go?
Right.
Who is pushing certain things?
Yes. I
mean, where do we want to say where we be in, like, where do we want to be in that spectrum?
Right. Correct. You know? Correct. You know, and I think there's a lot of well-intentioned people, but like you said, that natural, it just kind of evolved and it happened and now it is. And so now what are you going to do about it? Back to taking ownership of reading, educating yourself, learning, and then embracing that and moving yourself forward in the direction that you feel is appropriate for you. But you're right. Those are just the like most basic. And if what you want to do is create real health and real well-being, you can't be here. You have to elevate.
All right. So as I said, suspected, we could talk for like 4 hours. but Trish should probably take a look at what we wanted to talk about.
Well, okay. I love that we're going from the top. We're talking about our mindset. And then we're talking about how we put certain things in place to help our behaviors. One of the things that we didn't touch base on is like how we can, you know, I love wine and happy hour. Like I could sit down to like cheese crackers and a glass of wine and just don't even talk to me about dinner. But I can't do that when I'm doing either a jump start or I need to get myself realigned. I need to take a break. So last night I put a wine glass with crushed ice, sparkling water, and a lime. I feel like I'm doing something fun. you know, but it doesn't have any of the negative consequences.
Correct.
So we want to just roll into that willpower is not always our best friend. Mm-hmm. And so what you were talking about, remove the ice cream from the house.
Right.
Really make behaviors. But how can we work together as a team? Because sometimes some people are like, if you throw my Cheetos away, I'm going to come after you. So how do we get everybody on the same team and create those habits that are going to move us in a positive direction?
So one thing would be to maybe experiment and bring your family in, right? Maybe go to the grocery store and have them help look for something that might be a better alternative to their Cheetos. Like, for instance, Bryce, and it's one snack I'll buy, right? I mean, I am not this, you know, idealistic person that lives in the dirt that only eats raw things. I mean, I live in the real world and we travel and we have a fifth wheel and we're on the go and we do all kinds of stuff. So I have to be realistic. And I have a almost 13-year-old son. So Cheetos are a great option. There's a product called Hippies, and they're actually made out of ground chickpeas. They're organic. They have a little bit of white cheddar in them. And so when you read the ingredient list on that, it's about how many ingredients are in something, right? So yes. If you can take somebody to the grocery store and kind of make it into a hunt, like a, you know, a scavenger hunt for what might be a substitute here. Mm-hmm. So if you can find something that's one step better, Cheetos, Hippies.
Yes, then maybe that 1% pendulum.
Right. Then maybe at some point we would move from Hippies to, you know, cut celery.
I love it.
but you know, I don't think that's the third step.
I don't think there's Hippies celery. I think there's two more iterations.
Right. But
my bag of mangoes.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I would say involve your family and get on the same page and say, can we just take one thing off? Can we change one thing on that afternoon snack? Can we, you know, and do it together and come up with something that everyone likes? Or for instance, you know, there's all kinds of people that are really hopped up on clean eating. You could dissect dressing, like salad dressing, all day long, right? But if I have somebody over here who never eats salad or cut vegetables, and they're willing to come here to this little place, but it takes a little bit of dressing, we're going to use a little bit of dressing, right? So it's about bringing people along and finding things that they might be excited about trying and taking those steps together.
I love it.
I also love the idea, and I've said this before, that it's about small amounts of change over a long period of time rather than big change over a short period of time.
Right.
And so, you know, like you said earlier, if you make big change over a short period of time, it leads to reverting back to old habits.
Yo-yoing.
Small amount of change over a long period of time, we hardly even notice. I mean, you know, it's like when your kids go away or anything and they come back, you know, after summer camp, it's like, oh my gosh, you're so big, but we would have never noticed that otherwise.
Exactly. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
you want to do a quick recap? Where are we?
Well, we talked about mindset, mm-hmm. and the most helpful thing in mindset is doing that journal so that we kind of see what's happening during the day. Maybe we attach an emotion to where we're eating that Snickers bar. Is it because we're hungry or is it because we're upset? Is there a root cause we need to figure out? That journal is going to really explain things.
I love the idea if someone wanted to take that extra step and talk about the, like maybe the event, so to speak, just what was happening, you know, just got off the phone with so-and-so, you know, talked about this that I didn't really like. had this meal. I mean, you know, if there was a particular event associated to it, that might be a little too much, but I like it.
Yes. Okay. Well, and then putting some parameters around, you know, one of Caleb's friends came over and he said, oh, my mom says I have to drink 5 glasses of water before I'm allowed to have a glass of juice. I was like, oh, that's awesome. And Caleb says, at least you get rewarded. We don't even have anything unless we go out. And so,
but there's an unintended consequence of that.
He's like, juice.
Yeah. And then he doesn't have a glass.
Right. He doesn't have a glass. He's like, how big can I make my glass? Sure. And so that was like eye-opening just listening to their conversation. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Okay, that's something I can work on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So anyway, really understanding emotions that are behind the food, documenting the food, and then making small changes over time. Can you change that 5 glasses of wine to 2 glasses of wine per week? And absolutely, other times use that beautiful glass.
You lost people at per week. You lost people there.
I know. Okay. But we're talking about KYD 55.
That's true.
Okay. Because for us, we travel all the time and we're with people that are on vacation. We are not on vacation.
It only looks like we're on vacation,
but we're not. And so we're traveling. And so we have to be really mindful about the fact that when we go to hang out with people, they're in party mode. Remember how we said food is about celebration?
Yes.
It's about emotion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we have to say, okay, so I'm going to bring something to the party because those are the things that I can eat. And I'm going to bring enough for everybody. So I'm not like hoarding my carrots in the corner. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, and make it beautiful, make it fun, yeah, and make it beautiful. And then it invites people in. The other thing I think that's great, especially with kids, is that fun element, right? Like you were just talking about the water. Mm-hmm. I'll let Bryce pick out whatever water bottle or whatever that, you know, and he fills it up and he's got it. It's his thing, right? Let them kind of embrace those things that make it more enjoyable.
Yes. And then you're not working off of willpower. You're working off of habits.
Right.
Well, so, and you know, I think it's also, gosh, it just seems like everything goes back to awareness. I know when my willpower is higher or lower.
Yes.
I know if there's mint chocolate ice cream in the freezer at 9 o'clock at night.
It's over.
You know, get out of my way. But for some reason, I have higher willpower at the grocery store because I don't want to bring it into the house because I know where my high points are and where my low points are, mm-hmm, especially if I eat before going to the grocery store. So if you're not hungry at the grocery store, mm-hmm, right, I will do a better job resisting putting the things in the basket. So I think just being aware of where are you more susceptible to fall into the bad habits,
right,
and then augmenting those in advance.
Right. And having some element of planning into your week or month about, you know, I might do these snacks this week. I might cook this. So when you go to the grocery store, you have an agenda. You are not aimlessly walking around the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. And you're hanging around in the outside of the grocery store.
Right.
So we were listening to a comedian once and he was so funny. He was talking about his friends that are all organic and he only eats Cheetos. And he said, you know, that thing where you're supposed to eat around the outside of the grocery store. He said, I only do the aisles. He said, but when the apocalypse comes, my organic friends are going to be like all over the place and I'm going to be there
eating true.
Cheetos. He will. Be alive.
That-
so it made us laugh so hard. So yeah. I'm not preparing for the apocalypse. I'm preparing for a long, healthy life.
Right.
So anyway, but I love, you know, you go to the grocery store, you have a plan, you come home, you divide it up so that, again, you're not relying on that willpower. You're relying on the behavior, the habit. And
set yourself up for success.
Set yourself up for success. What I like is having an agenda, an overall plan, because I have to tell you, I'm not going to not have wine for the rest of my life, but I am abstaining for a certain amount of time to get back on the road.
Right.
So, and then I have a phase two, and then I have a full Thanksgiving plan, like get out of my way. I'm going to eat 17 different kinds of bread stuffing with buttered turkey and gravy. Yeah. And I'm going to love every minute. I'm not going to feel bad. I'm not going to like have shame or like, you know, try to hide what I'm eating. I'm going to be like, yes. So understanding your year in a whole too is helpful because if you're going to have, you know, Memorial Day barbecue, you don't want to be in the corner like, oh, I don't do that right now. You want to plan ahead.
Yes, absolutely. And I think those are all such important things. And it goes back to that awareness. I was actually just talking to a friend last night and their daughter's selling Girl Scout cookies. So their house is full of Girl Scout cookies. And we're having this conversation about the Girl Scout cookies. And I said, you know, what makes the difference is when you increase that awareness and you are making good decisions throughout the rest of the day, and you decide to have a couple Girl Scout cookies, back to the portions and being very in control of your
portions. Do you mean a couple sleeves?
Right. but you know, even if you decide to eat two portions, whatever it is, A, you're being mindful about the portions, and B, you're making the decision that that's the sugar you're eating right now. You're not letting somebody else put it in there for you because it was added in here and you drank a soda and then you did this and you didn't realize how much was in your Starbucks, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're making really good decisions and structuring and planning the majority of your time, when that opportunity comes up, you're very confident and know that you're not going to have this huge, everything isn't going to shatter from eating this serving of Girl Scout cookies. And it's not going to erode your health over the long term because you're making better decisions 95% of the time. And here you're saying, nope, this is okay. I get to have this.
Yeah. Well, you're making decisions, to your point.
Right.
And I think if someone is new to really taking a look at what is inside food and what is inside certain drinks, I think they would be surprised what they're really eating over the course of a day and a week and a month. If they're just letting the, as you say, just kind of going through, I mean, the stuff that is in certain drinks at Starbucks. And if you look at the way a grocery store is set up, or even how Walmart is set up, when you walk in, I mean, it is not all you see. Sugar. All you see is candy, sugar, chips, and soda. That's all you see, because that's what sells.
That's what sells.
It's on the end caps. It's when you first walk in. And if you don't know that, and you just like, and you just let the marketing apply to your life, it will eventually lead to...
Well, it'll erode all the good things you're doing.
Yes.
It will. And, you know, the reason that it matters, which I'm sure at some point down the road we'll jump into more in depth, but the reason that that matters is because food influences, it's information. The minute you put food in your body, it kind of tells your cells what to do. And the little energy plants inside your cells, it says do this or don't do this. Or if you're putting junk in, it doesn't give your cells to keep doing the job they're supposed to do, and they can start to break. And so then when they start to break, then the broken one can multiply. That can lead towards disease. The other thing that can lead towards disease is chronic inflammation. Mm-hmm. And all that sugar and process, that leads to all kinds of havoc and pain and discomfort and all the things we've talked about chronic disease and being overweight and, you know, that cascade effect. So that's why it matters. If you can make that decision and take control and move past the entry at Walmart where all that marketing is coming at you and saying, nope, I know what I'm doing. I have a list. You're going to become so much better on the opposite end.
Now, here's the good news though. And Tricia said this before, and we have no titles. We have no acronyms. We have no initials after our names. No. Okay. Just KYD.
Yeah.
Okay. But
those are good initials though.
Well, they're good. I like initials. But Tricia said before that our cells regenerate every 90 days.
Well, depending on what organ it is.
Right. That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
So the good news here is that the moment that someone makes the decision to take on ownership for their health and what they eat and make a plan forward, they're 90 days away from a lot of the cells being completely different.
Yes, happy cells building terrific other cells instead.
And that's what makes the body so remarkable.
Yeah,
I mean that you can treat it so bad, and it still performs,
and it will regenerate.
Right? But just imagine what the body could do and how you would feel if you treated it, you know, at another level.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you may feel some way that you didn't even know you could feel. And that's what health coaching and lifestyle modifications are really all about, is realizing this vitality and energy and feeling awesome to be able to do what you want to do, not being a prisoner to your body. Because when you're a prisoner to your body, life can tend to suck.
It does. Yeah,
it really does. Okay, so so many things. Again, we talked about the bank account. You can have something. I mean, if you're on a straight and narrow, like KYD 55, and you're like, I'm not gonna do these certain behaviors for 55 days, or I'm gonna add in these certain positive things for 55 days, that's great. But then you go back to normal and you have this bank account of calories that you can spend every day. So you could have those two, you know, cookies or whatever that sugar is, if you've been mindful throughout the day. You know, I was reading a blog that went viral once and they said, why is it that Girl Scout cookies and the Victoria's Secret bathing suit line come out in February? Like, that's not okay. They need to move those cookies up or do the bathing suit further down.
Right?
Not nice.
So true.
Not nice. So anyway, really being mindful of that calorie bank account, what's in your food, and then how do we create really cool ways to have positive behaviors throughout the day. When we leave here today, I would love for you to kind of wrap that up for us, but also talk to us, how do you navigate a restaurant menu? Because I think that's one of the hot buttons, and maybe that's a great way for us to kind of close up this interview, and then we have so much more to talk about.
Yeah, right? We need to talk more. So I have a feeling there's going to be more webinar links included in KYD 55 with our conversations. Yes. If you're okay with that.
I am great with that. That would be so fun. So restaurant menu, I think number one is do a quick scan of the menu. And I would immediately go to the side dishes and or look at what is served with entrees, right? So if you are trying to up your veggies and you're not seeing a great vegetable centered type of dish on that menu, then ask for, you know, whatever the smallest fillet is, or ask for just a grilled chicken breast or what a little piece of salmon or whatever, and then go to the sides or the salads and build your plate yourself, right? So you want to try to get 50% of your plate to be vegetables if possible. I mean, 75% is like ideal, but at least 50%. So if you know that the fillet is served with asparagus and you want chicken, just ask for the asparagus and have a side salad. So go to the sides, look at what different kinds of veggies are offered, look at what different kinds of options you have. Do they offer sliced avocado that you can add sliced avocado on top of your grilled chicken? So go to the sides, look at what your options are and how you can kind of reconstruct a plate. So that would be number one. Number two is ditch the fried food and or starchy stuff. So as in, right? French fries. I mean, it's like French fries is the number one consumed vegetable perceived by Americans in the United States.
Wow.
So ditch.
Yeah,
it's huge, right? It goes back to like this awareness and all these misconceptions. So ditch the French fries, starchy fried food, just get rid of it. And then number three would be water, sparkling water, regular tap water, still water. Have them add a piece of citrus from the bar into your water. But it's so easy at restaurants to go down that calorie rabbit hole when you start to order drinks. So reconstruct your plate based on sides and vegetables and leverage all that. Get rid of the starchy, fried, potato-y stuff, and then water.
So let me share how I navigate a restaurant. And then I have a question for you about water, because you mentioned distilled water and I wanted to chat about that. So I don't look at menus at all.
Yeah.
I can pretty much tell what's on the menu based upon where we decided to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, We all kind of have an idea. You look around, it's either a Mexican place or it's an Italian place or it's a foodie grill. But I don't even want to look. I mean, why do I want to look and see what I might love when I can just make the decision based upon how I'm feeling and chat it out with the waiter or waitress?
That's awesome.
I don't ask them what they like, because you know they're like, oh, everything's kind of good, right? It's like, what's your most popular plate? And I can work it out with them.
Right.
And normally end up making a decision to get, you know, chicken and salmon and vegetables or a salad. And then early on in my career, I was with a who turned out to be kind of like one of my first mentors. And anytime we would go out to a restaurant, he wouldn't look at the menu either. And he would always order a salad. Always.
Yes.
And so he said, I just made the decision, because he eats out a lot for business, work. He said, I made the decision that if I always order a salad, you're always fine. And there's a lot of great salads, Asian chicken salads and Thai salads and, you know, even Caesar salads, which is heavy on the dressing, but it's still better than the alternative with the croutons and things. But nonetheless, I thought, what a great idea. He doesn't even have to think about what he's going to order, because he knows in advance it's going to be a salad.
Right. Right. He's just made that commitment to that.
That analysis paralysis, that's what happens because you see the fries and you're like, well, and you start validating the choices.
Right.
So when, if you can get yourself out of that paralysis, which means like you're frozen and you can't make the decision where you say, this is what I do when I come
but
in.
It's,
or you say, what are the sides? I've never heard that before. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
You know, and like I said, I mean, you can easily deconstruct. For instance, I advocate people to eat eggs. I personally don't like eggs, but we sometimes go out for a brunch or what we call linner and combine linner and dinner, right? So we don't always eat three times a day, but I don't like eggs. So if we're going to a brunch buffet and they have this amazing spread of all these veggies and things you can add to an omelet station, I fill the bowl or the plate with all the veggies and ask them to saute them because maybe I'm in the mood for something warm and I don't just want, you know, a salad. I'll ask them to saute all the veggies that they would put in the omelet and then I get a small bowl of fruit on the side or whatever. And now I've just created this great alternative. And that's just personally for me because I don't like eggs, but there's all these different ways that you can piece and navigate a restaurant.
I love it, but it all comes down to taking ownership, really understanding what's coming in and how it's feeding you and getting excited about the fact that your cells are rebuilding all the time.
That
pumps me up.
And it does.
Even I was describing it to the kids because, you know, Caleb doesn't like the fact that he is allergic to gluten. And I mean, I don't like it either. It's a bummer. But what happens is these are like sad cells when you do it because they lock down. They can't take in anything and everything just goes right through the body. So when we go back to explaining the why behind why we're eating, kids light up. And I love the fact that you said go on a treasure hunt in the grocery store together because kids are so smart.
Yeah.
They get it. So,
and, you know, I mean, like that gluten thing and the cells regenerating, it's the same thing with your digestive tract and your microbiome and the balance of your good bacteria, bad bacteria. That influences so much around your health. When that gets disrupted, you can rebuild it and rebalance it, but it takes a little bit of time. You can't just eat a bunch of junk one day and expect that that's going to be fixed tomorrow. And once you disrupt it, it takes some time to get back to that even playing field.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back to the water conversation. So
and then we need to close out.
I was a little surprised that you said distilled water because distilled water has no minerals in it. And minerals are good for you.
Right. So, you know, there's a lot about water and minerals are really good for you. There's a lot of tap water that has a lot of extra stuff in it that can be disruptive, specifically to our endocrine system.
Chlorine. How about, right? Chlorine.
Fluoride. Yeah.
Fluoride, yeah.
Chlorine, fluoride. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You can actually get little water test kits on like Amazon to test your own tap water and see what's in it and if it's high in certain things. But anyway, if you distill water, you can actually buy mineral drops to add minerals back into your water, or you can supplement to make sure you're getting those types of minerals.
Where does pH fall into this? And I know there's some, like Dasani was bought by Pepsi.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't know that. And now if you do testing on Dasani water, apparently the pH is just not very good for you. So where does pH fall into the mix here?
So, you know, acidic and alkaline, it's... You have to keep in mind that could be a really complex conversation, but one thing you have to remember is that once you put something in your mouth, a chemical reaction is already happening the minute it hits your saliva. And so whether something's acidic or alkaline doesn't necessarily mean that it has the same effect once it's inside your body. So, you know, drinking more alkalinic water is good, but I personally think it's a waste of money to focus too much on processed water, I guess, for lack of a better word. I have a filter at home. I filter my tap water myself. I love Pellegrino because Pellegrino is mineral water that, so I love something like that. But I think there's a lot of marketing ploys going on in the water industry right now. And so I think spending a lot of money in that department is probably not worth it.
Well, it goes back to lots of change over a short period of time, or I mean, are small amounts of change over, wait, small amounts of change over a lot of time. I'm forgetting the quote.
Start over. But,
okay. It goes back to what we were saying before. Small amounts of change over a long period of time versus lots of change over a short period of time, because I'm thinking right now about this water that someone watches a documentary on something and then they become hypersensitive on that aspect of their health, but really neglecting all the other aspects because there wasn't a documentary on those things. And right. So I like what you're saying. I mean, you know, you can get almost myopic on water, yeah, or myopic on certain foods, but not be overall,
yes,
looking at the big picture and saying, yeah, I'm going to make a little improvement on the water, a little improvement on the meats we eat, mm-hmm, a little improvement on like vegetables and organic things, and right, improve everything instead of just being unbalanced.
Yes. And you know, I just to kind of wrap that all up, when you take that holistic health and you think about nourishing yourself, food does it, water does it, but all the other things in your life do it too. And when you were going back to emotional eating, what can we do to fill our cup emotionally? So what can we do to bring joy? What can we do to reduce stress? What can we do, and all those other fronts that nourish us in different ways?
Yes.
Because that's just as important as the food is. And so really taking this kind of holistic approach is really important.
Well, yes, it reminds me of this study that they did with a group of kids, college kids, and they took half of them and they made them do really fatiguing little minute tasks. And yes, then everybody went in and took tests. And the kids that were mentally fatigued test way lower. They're at the same grade level as the other group, but they test way lower because they have so much mental fatigue, they just can't work through the problems. Uh-huh. So when we're fatigued by these other things, or our joy is low, or, you know, where we could fix other things in our life, our food might be easier to take control over, yes, if we start adding in these other things that are positive in our emotion realm. So
yeah, you know, it's yeah, like 2 minutes of meditation or stretching or exercise. There's all these things, right? There's, yeah, all these things. So,
well, thank you for being here with, yes, us today, Julie. I know that there is definitely a golden nugget that every person listening took, mm-hmm, and they can implement. So that's,
and
what
I think
I
this was a good starting point to introduce you and to like start. I think this was a good conversation to start in this category.
Yes.
And there's going to be a lot more conversations we have.
Excellent. I can't wait.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your sunny day.
Thank you. You too. Safe travels wherever you're off to next.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.